There is a word from God on this few days before Christmas. May not seem like an Advent message, but I think there's an Easter egg in there. Ha, it's kind of funny. I want to talk from the thought, from the series on Made, talk from the thought, you will return. I've already said this today, but I'll say it again. I know that according to almost every person that really keeps closely the Christian calendar, everything that I've been preaching does not appear to line up with anything to do with Advent. None of it. I mean, I'm glad I haven't heard from anybody basically saying that, you know, I'm not a good preacher all of a sudden because I don't do things in that way. But I want to argue a point real quick. Not really argue. I just want to prove a quick point. You know, the whole point of Advent and us waiting on a kid to show up is rooted in the fact that along the line somewhere, humanity forgot who it was. Whole series has been about knowing who you are. We are what created in the image, likeness, essence of God. Somewhere along the line, we forgot what that was. Therefore, Genesis 3:17 tells us about a kid that's going to come. And that kid is going to bust the head of a serpent and in the process have its own heel bruised. That kid is known as Jesus, who would arrive, born, laid on some wood known as a manger, that would ultimately grow up as a man, who would be placed on some wood and die for us, but then become the rock behind the rock that would rise up out of the rock to become our Savior and soon coming King. Interestingly enough, if you read the Bible closely enough, you see every season, every theme, everything in just about every story. And in this particular instance, we see the reason why the kid had to come. It's not a foreshadowing, it's actually the evidence after the kid became a man, became the man that was about to die. And in this story, we see probably he's my favorite. Should be your favorite too. My favorite disciple, Peter. Y'all know why my favorite disciple? He's a rough rider. Every person in life, y'all probably heard me say it, but I'll say it again. Every person in life needs to have a Peter in their life. Every one of y'all. I don't care. You need to have somebody who is saved enough to get revelation from God and hood enough to say that I'll put these hands on you. Amen. Love the Lord enough to pray for you through the laying on of hands. And got enough in them to tell you that if you cross them, you're going to get these hands. And I said what I meant, and I meant what I said. I don't hang with the people that are closest to me got Peter tendencies. And the people that hopefully call me close friend and brother know that I do have Peter tendencies. And I'm trying to help some of y'all because some of y'all think that certain people that are in your life are going to really roll with you. But it's the cats like Peter that really go with you. Amen. They go with you. And so Jesus, being not only the Christ, but being a person that always plans and prepares and all this other kind of stuff. At the end of this thing, he's saying, look, y'all, I got to tell y'all some stuff. And I need you to pay attention. So he says, look here, dog. I already know what's getting ready to happen to you. I know so intently that I decided to do some things in advance. Peter, Satan wants y'all to be separated, sifted like wheat. That's his intentions right now. That's his goal, is not just you, but the rest of the brothers. I'm trying to get y'all all separated and sift you. But you know what, man? I want you to know, I already prayed for you, dog. And I prayed for you, and I prayed for you, and I prayed for you. So when you come back after all that, you're going to be able to find your brothers and strengthen them too. But then Peter, being Peter, say, look here, man. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to ride with you whether I got to go to prison or I got to die. And we know he meant it, because when the arrest came down, he cut a man's ear off. He meant that stuff. Do not get it twisted. What Peter said in this moment, he meant every word of it. People will be like, he was emotional. It don't matter. No matter what, whatever comes out of your mouth at a certain moment, you meant it. Even if it was out of anger, you meant that stuff. All right? Let's just get it out the way so you ain't got to fool with people. If they said it, they meant it. Even if it was a lapse in judgment, they meant that stuff. Peter meant this stuff. I don't care if I got to die or go to prison. I ain't turning my back on you. That ain't going to happen. And then Jesus, being as real as he was like, look, I already told you I got you covered, but since you want to be hard-headed, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. Before the rooster crows to announce that it's morning, you're going to act like you don't know me 3 times. It's a deep thing when you are told that you're going to mess up. And it's an even deeper thing when you as a human being have the propensity to mess up at some point. But it's a real thing, and it's a real deep thing when somebody that you love basically tells you up front, I already know you ain't going to make it through this moment. Not like you want to. And then they tell you on top of that, I ain't worried about that. Because I've already began to pray for you, because after you make it through that season, you still got to come back.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And can I tell you something? The beauty of not only the story, but the beauty of always seeing stuff like this in the Bible is that no matter what I go through, there's always a chance for me to what? Make a comeback.
Amen.
And if we're honest in here, all of us are a comeback story. Every last one of us is a comeback story. Somewhere along the line, when we thought we were too far gone, God already had set it up where you and I had a chance to make a comeback. I know that right now there are some people that have got stuff going on in their lives that they don't want to talk about. They don't want to come to no altar to try to prove that they got stuff going on. They don't want to tell nobody they got stuff going on. And they've been struggling, and you've been wanting to tell somebody so bad, but you can't really tell them because you don't think that they're going to look at you the same. And they're catching you at the wrong time, and they're catching you when you're angry about something that ain't got nothing to do with them, and they feel bad, and all of a sudden you done made them feel bad, and they don't know why, and you don't know why, and everybody's struggling, and all stuff is going everywhere. Everything haywire. It's because the devil has a goal.
Yes.
The goal is to get you separated.
Yes.
But Jesus said, I've already prayed for you, that when you come back, you'll be restored. Let me say that again. I know we ain't always a shouting church, but that's good news. Jesus said, I know you about to mess up because the devil wants you to be separated from the rest of the brethren. But I've already prayed, wait for it, for you. And after the test, when you come back, you're going to come back, and your purpose is going to be to what? Strengthen the brothers. 2019 was a year that was in place to try to sift a whole lot of us like wheat.
Yes, yes, yes.
The enemy used it for a lot of reasons. To try to mess us up, get us off course, get us off kilter, get us messed up, because it seemed like things were rolling and every once in a while this happened here, that happened there, stuff came out of nowhere, people went to see the Lord that we love, all kinds of stuff happened left and right, but somehow, on December 22nd, okay, you ain't gonna do it, I'm gonna do it. It was sent to sift us, but somehow, on December 22nd, 2019, at 12:05 p.m., if you ain't gonna shout about it, I will. I'm still standing on the other side of a sifting season. Some of you in here, before I even get to a point, ought to take about 15 to 20 seconds to shout about the fact that the things that should have took you out, didn't. The stuff that was supposed to keep you out, didn't. The things that were trying to put you down, it didn't put you down. That right now, at this moment, you are still here. And after all you've been through, you ought to be able, this is before we get to the end of the sermon, shouting about the fact that the Lord already promised that I was going to make it back. Restoration is not beyond anybody. Everybody's got a chance to be restored. Everybody's got a chance to be back where they ought to be, on their way to where God has destined for them to be. But you got to understand that even before you run into another season where it may be a struggle, you need to shout in advance, because God has already set the stage to let you know that even though you may go through, there has already been things done in advance that will open up the door for you to make it back. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people do. I don't care how they try to judge you about what they don't know or understand. God has already set the door up, because in this you will make it back. Let me tell you how. Let me give you the gift of restoration. Let me tell you how it works, okay? Y'all ready? How do we know that we can be restored? Listen, first, you got a Christ that intercedes for you. I shouldn't even have to break a sweat. This thing ought to preach itself. You got a Christ that intercedes for you. Jesus said explicitly, without any conjecture, listen, Peter, here's what the devil's trying to do, but let me tell you what I've already done. I have already prayed for you, knowing what he is trying to do. And I know that you are going to go through it, because he's intending to do everything he can to get you off course. But listen, man, I have prayed for you. That your faith won't fail, and when you return, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers. But let's start there. He intercedes for me. I don't deserve the Lord interceding for me. You know, I don't think people get the gravity of what that means. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, looking down at our situation, knowing that we are going to face some tests and some trials. And somehow, buddies up with his Father and said, listen, I know that he's about to go through this, but can you just help him to hold out? Can you help her to make it through? Can you strengthen her to make it through the test? Because if they make it through the test, I know everything that we put in them is going to shift the atmosphere they're in. But they got to make it through this. That's what you ought to shout about, that Christ knows you so well that when you're going up against a challenge, you already got backup before you show up. You already got help before you know you need the help. You already got stuff waiting on you before you even get to the test. I don't know about any of you, but that makes me want to holler all so loud, because every time I face a situation and I know I can't make it on my own, I already know it's a fixed fight, because Christ has already set the terms and has already come on my behalf to make sure that I make it. Number two, you possess a faith that extends beyond a moment. You possess a faith that extends beyond a moment. Listen, y'all. Everybody in here has a bad day. Okay? Everybody in here has a bad day. Everything don't work out like you want it to. There's some days you holding on by a thread. Nobody even knows it, because you just seem to just... Just because it don't look heavy don't mean it ain't heavy. Just because God has given you a grace to not look like what you're going through doesn't mean that you ain't going through it. Amen. Just because others don't acknowledge it doesn't mean that God has forgotten. But here it is. What's carrying you is a faith that won't break. Listen to the prayer of our Savior. But I've prayed for you. Listen, that your... Not your body, not your heart, not just that your faith may not fail. Everything around you may fall apart. But he prayed that your faith won't fail. You looking for other stuff to try to stay intact until you come through. No, you need a faith that'll get you through. Because guess what? The best of us will fail you. We may intend to do it. Peter intended to roll with Jesus as far as he could go. But even Jesus said, you can't go that far because you're going to fall short. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But where your energy needs to go is in a faith that won't fail. That even when all hell is breaking loose, that you can still hold on to the fact, I know that the Lord will carry me through. That every now and then when people are trying your patience, that you are able to say that no matter the task, no matter the test, no matter the trial, I know that the Lord will not leave me nor forsake me. Is there anybody that can talk about having gripped faith where you had to hold on to the promise that the Lord will fight your battles and that the Lord will show up, that the Lord will supply all your needs when your bank account's on zero and the bill gets paid anyhow, that when you ain't got nothing to put in your house and the Lord shows up and brings stuff that you need and gives you overflow in places you didn't even begin to see, you need to have a faith that will get you through. And Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. One more thing, and I bid you adieu. Listen, last thing, our journey is not in a vacuum. Our journey is not in a vacuum. Okay? Gramps, listen. You know, I learned in my short amount of time on this earth that I pray will be extended so I can see promises in my life fulfilled. I've learned that people develop a reputation not based on the litany and the history of their life. But they'll build a reputation based off of the last thing they did. Or at least that's how people treat folk. You're not always known for what you've done. You're only known for the last thing. So it doesn't matter if you are rich and you did things in a moral way and you did this and you did that and you've helped people, and you, people will define you by the last thing that has happened. Janet Jackson defined the syndrome as, "What have you done for me lately?" So Peter is about to be defined by the thing that Jesus said was going to happen. I want you to see this. Peter, listen, I've already prayed. I know you're about to go through it, right? I already know this is going to happen, but are you ready? I know you don't even want to hear it, and I know you don't want to believe it, and I know you said you're going to ride with me, but Peter, you're going to deny that my very existence is in your life 3 times before the rooster tells the entire city that it's morning. And what happened? What happened, y'all? It happened, right? When the pressure was off. Hey, man, ain't you that one that followed? Talking like Shaggy, it wasn't me. Another person came up. Ain't you one? Go on somewhere. Then the last one came, and guess what he did? He cussed them out and kept it moving. And sure enough, that rooster was like cock-a-doodle-doo. And bruh man went off in tears because he was embarrassed and he was ridden with guilt. But remember, y'all, Jesus already said, "I know you're going to do this, but I prayed for you." Yes, sir. Don't you know that Jesus already was able to see everything in advance? Now, this ain't even in the text, but can you imagine Jesus' thought process as he's telling them this? You're looking at him and like, "I told you, you're going to mess up, but I prayed for you. I know you're going to tell everybody you don't know me, but I prayed for you. As a matter of fact, I know you're going to be so ridden with guilt that you're going to think that you can't be around nobody because they're going to know that you denied me. But guess what? I prayed for you. I know you're going to hide out like the rest of the brothers. You're going to hide out because you think the government going to look for you. Because after they get rid of me, they're going to come for you. But guess what? I prayed for you. I did all that because I already know the end of the story. And the end of the story is, yes, you're going to see me die. And yes, you're going to be in all this kind of guilt. And yes, I'm going to suffer. And yes, I'm going to bleed. And yes, you're going to know that all this has happened. But I prayed for you. And you mean to tell me that if I'm going to pray for you so that you can return, that I ain't going to make a comeback? All right, I'm ready to close this thing out. So we know how this works. Jesus died and he went into the grave, and Peter is still in guilt. Peter is still in mess mode. And we know what happened. We know that Jesus got up and he was already out of the grave. But wait for it. The first time that a message was supposed to get back to those disciples, the women saw that Jesus wasn't there, and they found out that Jesus wasn't there. They went back to these brothers and said, "Hey, Jesus ain't there. He's alive." They didn't believe them. They had to go and see for themselves. They saw he wasn't there. They didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, even though their egos wouldn't allow them to take the message the first time, Jesus already knew that he had to deal with their egos. He waited for them to get into a room that was locked on every side, and he didn't wait for a locked door to be unlocked. He stepped into the room, looked at Peter, and basically said, "Hey, remember, I prayed for you." He came back, and then they took a walk. And look at how Jesus restored them. This ain't even in the text. This is your gift. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter looked back and said, sure enough. And Jesus said, what? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I sure do. Feed my lambs. Why would he tell him that? Because you may have forgotten something earlier in the story. I'm not talking about in this text. I'm talking about early in their journey. Remember when Jesus asked a question similar to that? He said, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. But he looked back at those disciples and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter was the one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he looked back at Peter and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So guess what? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And now that Peter has gone from receiving authority to being shamed because he wouldn't stand for Christ when it was necessary. And all of a sudden, Jesus had to come back and said, I got up just like I said, and I'm restoring you just like I said. He asked the question by the river because he needed him to know that it was time to step forward and be what you've been called to be. Listen, y'all, Jesus got this thing set up. It's already a fixed fight. All you got to do is make it. It's already fixed in your favor. All you got to do is make it. You don't have to worry about what people do, what people try, what people say, what they think, because it's already a fixed fight. You can't lose when you are in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, not only can't I lose, I'm going to win every single time. Is there anybody in here that's got a reason to shout today that you are a winner? You are a survivor. You have been restored. You have made it. You have made it through. No matter what they've tried, no matter what has happened, you are still standing. So, 2020 for you is the year of your comeback. So, come back. Come back to when you first believed. Come back to a prayer life that has power. Come back to doing what God has called you to do, because folk can't take away from you what God has already put in you. Life can't take from you what God has already given you. Come back. The comeback is on. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.